ओम जयतम नंदस्या जना जना सलकया चक्षु समिलतं जेन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य प्रभुस्तम स्थापितं जेन पुतले स्वयं प्रकटम ददति स्थापनं विकम वन से गोपतु बस्या कृपसिंधु बे बचा पतितनम पवने गो वैष्णवे नमो नमः Vasudev and Devaki have just completed offering their prayers to their newborn son who happened to have four arms and was Lord Vishnu. Actually it was Krishna, but in Vishnu form, and as Vasudev. So after the prayers that acknowledged his position, and also Devaki explained her fear that Kamsa was going to come, which was contradictory to both Vasudeva and Devaki's knowledge of Vishnu's position. But yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he began to reply and he began to explain how it was that the Lord had appeared as their son, that he had appeared as their son. So the Supreme Personality of God had replied to their prayers saying, or to Devaki specifically, "My dear mother, best of the chaste, in your previous birth, in the Swayambhuva millennium, you are known as Prishni, and Vasudev, who is the most pious Prajapati, was named Sutapa. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. My dear father and mother," so here the Lord is calling them father and mother, that in and of itself is wonderful, "you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat and severe cold." Who remembers just from the verse I read just prior, what was the purpose of their undergoing severe austerities? But what was the intermediary purpose? They wanted to create progeny, and they first underwent severe austerities by controlling their senses. So it didn't exactly say, excuse me. But what is the purpose of the austerities in controlling the senses, which are very extreme? They endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat and severe cold, suffering all sorts of inconveniences according to the different seasons. What is the purpose of that austerity? It's to purify the mind. Because the mind tends to accept that which is convenient for the pleasure of the senses, and it tends to reject that which is difficult. It is sense-loving. That's the tendency of the mind. It is selfish. The mind does the bidding of the false ego, which is selfish and self-centered. So the purpose of the austerities is to purify the mind, neglect the mind from its tendency of being selfish and doing whatever it feels like, and exciting the body to do whatever it feels like for its petty pleasures. So by the austerities, the mind learns to neglect, to be neglected, because the mind, when it's cold, the mind says, "Stop, get out of this cold. What are you, foolish? When the rain is severe, get out of the rain. When the heat, the cold, the wind, the strong sun," the mind doesn't like these things. It's looking for something soft, pleasure-giving. So therefore, when the mind is neglected in that way, and the consciousness is focused on the Supreme Lord instead of the mind's desires, then the mind gradually becomes purified. It becomes divested of these tendencies. That's the purpose of the austerities. The austerities, without the focus of the mind on Krishna and the attempt to purify the mind for Krishna's pleasure isn't really sufficient at all. So they practice, the both of them, Vasudev and Devaki, in this verse and previous verse, Krishna and Sutapa, they practice the austerities in different seasons. And by practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga, and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleansed from your mind's all dirty things through the neglect of the mind's desires and demands. In this way, desiring a benediction for me due to the pure mind, you worship me with peaceful mind. It is so amazing, actually, that the mind is like a child, like a very naughty, strong child. When it doesn't get its way, it just throws itself and starts causing all kinds of trouble. And then the tendency is to give in to the mind, as if that's going to satisfy the mind. But actually, what satisfies the mind is not letting it have its way at all, not indulging the mind, but rather neglecting the mind and focusing the mind on Krishna. Then actually the mind becomes peaceful. But in Kali Yuga this is very difficult, especially for those who haven't undergone strict training when young. Very, very difficult. So it's a struggle with the mind continuously. Continuous struggle with the mind because of that. But here, they perform the austerities because they wanted a benediction from the Lord. Prabhupada explains in the purport, second paragraph, human life is meant not for becoming a hog or a dog, but for tapo dibhyam putrakayena satvam shudhye, that the mind has to become shudhyad, or purified, and the process of doing that is austerities directed towards the divine, transcendental austerity. Everyone should be taught to undergo austerity, tapasya, although it may not be possible to undergo tapasya like that of Krishna and Sutapta. Just imagine. Well, I guess actually, if one goes to the university, one is supposed to be learning austerity of the mind and the study. Or if one joins the armed forces, for example, one has to undergo basic training, and it doesn't make a difference whether you like it or not. The training is to undergo physical austerities. But what is the purpose of these austerities? They are not tapo dibhyam. They are not divine austerities. They are for some material purpose. So Prabhupada is explaining, although it may not be practical or possible, certainly it's not practical and it's not even possible for us to go the kind of austerities that these two great souls did. But the Shastra has given an opportunity for a method of tapasya easy to perform, the Sankirtan movement. One cannot expect to undergo tapasya to get Krishna as one's child. Yet simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Kirtana Deva Krishnasya, one can become so pure that one becomes free from all the contaminations of the material world, Mukta Sangha. What did I just read that Prabhupada said?
Finding an austerity working.
By?
Become free from the association with modes of material nature.
That's quite an interesting comment.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, it wasn't what I said, but the word, you got the word austerity right in there. That's pretty good. I'll read it one more time. Although it may not be possible to undergo tapasya like that of Krishna and Sutapa, the Shastras have given an opportunity for a method of tapasya very easy to perform, the Sankirtan movement. One cannot expect to undergo tapasya to get Krishna as one's child. Yet simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra, Kirtana Deva Krishna Sya, one can become so pure that one becomes free from all the contamination of this material world, Mukta Sangha, and goes back home, back to Godhead, Param Brajet. Got it? Do we actually...
Yes.
Do we actually accept this? That just simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we could become so pure? But it's there's a quality of the chanting too. It is not just, well, I chanted Hare Krishna, I'm not so pure and ready to go back to Godhead yet. What's wrong? No, there's a quality of the chanting and there is a quantity of the chanting. The quality is like a baby calling for a mother, and the quantity is continuous. Because if we want to be in the light and to be pure all the time, we have to continuously keep our mind focused on Krishna. Because as soon as Krishna ceases to become the center, as soon as service to Krishna ceases to become the center of our mental activities, as soon as we become the center, and sense pleasures become the center, no matter if we chanted Hare Krishna for so much time, then immediately we are in the darkness controlled by false ego. But if one chants and chants and chants seriously, sincerely, then a taste will come that will make the taste of self-centered, petty sense enjoyment very, very pale and dry, like a shadow. Like the pleasure, the reflection of food can give us as opposed to the real food. But until we get a higher taste, we are, of course, in a precarious position. So the Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is teaching people not to adopt artificial means of happiness. So, therefore, to hear the Shastra is very important, because our minds have tendencies to drift into selfish pleasure. So this intelligence has to continually hear about what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong, what is good for us, what is favorable, what is unfavorable, so that the intelligence gets strong, continuously exercising and getting strong to control the mind from its tendencies for these material pleasures. So it's teaching people not to adopt artificial means of happiness, but take to the real path of happiness as prescribed in the Shastra, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and become perfect in every aspect of material existence. So the Lord is continuing to speak. If we don't hear, and if we don't have our determination fixed by hearing, certainly the mind will drift. So, Shradhanavi Sudachite Karibe Udoy. It must be done. Ihan Mali Nitya Seishi Shravanadi Jal. There has to be the sprinkling of the hearing of Shastra upon our consciousness. So the Lord continued, thus you spent 12,000 celestial years, and that is a long time, performing difficult activities of tapasya and consciousness of me, in Krishna consciousness. So thinking of pleasing Krishna. O sinless Mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years, in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion, and austerity. What three things? Faith, devotion, austerity. The last one is the austerity, the not engaging in material activity. Faith, because unless one has faith, one can't continue. One will think that he's wasting his time. His faith has to be very fixed. And then devotion. Without devotion, everything becomes dry. If it's not an offering to Krishna, everything is austere and dry. And then The final one was the austerity, faith, devotion, austerity. I very much became satisfied with you, and since I am the best of all bestowers of benedictions, I appeared in the same form as Krishna to ask you to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport here. Just after a few sentences. We should be careful to understand that to get Krishna as one's son, one must undergo such great austerities. If we want to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become one of us in this material world, this requires great penance. But if we want to go back to Godhead, takvadeyam punad janma naiti mameti soarjuna, we need only to understand him and love him. So which is easier? To understand him and love him is certainly easier than performing these great austerities. Through love only, we can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Very important. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore declared, prema pamarto mahan, love of Godhead is the highest achievement for anyone, not performance of austerities. As we have explained, in worship of the Lord there are three stages, Gyan, Gyanamayi, and Rati, or love. Sutapa and his wife Krishna inaugurated their devotional activities on the basis of full knowledge. Gradually they developed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when this love was mature, the Lord appeared as Vishnu, although Devaki then requested him to assume the form of Krishna. To love the Supreme Personality of Godhead more, we want a form of the Lord like Krishna or Ram. We can engage in loving transactions with Krishna especially. Because Ram acted as a king, and the king is very difficult to approach because of his position of power. But Krishna acted as a village boy. Anyone could approach him. So the intimacy of the exchange had no reverence attached to it. Everything was very intimate. The boys would play, they would push each other, they would call each other names because that's the way the boys are. They would defeat each other in fighting, grab each other's food. If you do that with a king, it's completely not appropriate. But if you do that with your intimate friend, it's something completely different. So that's the highest limit of intimacy, and therefore that one can have with God, with the Supreme Lord, when he is in his position as Krishna. Even with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone serves him in dasyaras. Everyone is very reverential to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Krishna's dealings, very, very intimate, in Vrindavan especially. In this age, we are all fallen. It is okay to be fallen, but it is not okay to be falling. If one is fallen, then one can get up. If one is falling, all one can do is fall. In this age, we are all fallen, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon us love of Godhead directly. This was appreciated by the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Trishe Namaha. In this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as Mahavaranaya, the most munificent of charitable persons, because he gives Krishna so easily that one can attain Krishna simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. We should therefore take advantage of the benediction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra we are cleansed of all dirty things, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, we shall be able to understand very easily that Krishna is the only object of love. Therefore, one need not undergo severe penances for many thousands of years. One need only learn how to love Krishna and be always engaged in his service. Sevan Mukhi Jivadal Sayam Evas Paratyada. Then one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. So what two things are required to very easily go back to Godhead? Is that what just said? One need only learn how to love Krishna, and the way to do that is by chanting, and be always engaged in his service. One need only learn how to love Krishna and be always engaged in his service. Then one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead, Prabhupada said. Instead of bringing the Lord here for some material purpose, to have a son or whatever else, if we go back home, back to Godhead, our real relationship with the Lord is revealed, and we eternally engage in our eternal relationship. So Prabhupada is saying, we should not follow the example of Sutapa and Prishni and want to remain husband and wife, dearly engaged as husband and wife, and to combine and then pray to have Krishna as a son. No, don't do that. Just go back to Godhead. Just develop your eternal relationship with Krishna and go back to Godhead. And they could do that, as will be explained in later verses. Krishna actually engaged in this relationship with them for three births. Not just this one time. Three times. Once as Diti and Kasyapa for Vamanadev, when Krishna came as Vamanadev, and one as Prishni Garba. That was Prishni and Sutapa. Does anyone know who Prishni Garba was? The Lord's incarnation who came to Dhruva Maharaj. Prishni Garba, which means within the womb of Prishni. So by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we gradually develop our eternal relationship with the Supreme Person and thus attain the perfection called Sarup Siddhi. We should take advantage of this benediction and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Narottama Das Thakur is therefore sung Patit de Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. What's the next line? Na Pai Vyara. I don't want anything else except your mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as an incarnation to deliver all fallen souls like us and directly bestow upon us love of Godhead. We must take advantage of this great benediction of the great personality of Godhead. Who is the great personality of Godhead that we must take advantage of his benediction? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Prabhupada says we must, because people, when people approach other people and say, you must do this, what's the natural reaction in Kali Yuga? No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. So why is Prabhupada saying we must take advantage of this great benediction? Yeah. So really, what Prabhupada means to say, if you want to end this miserable material life and develop your love for Krishna, then you must take advantage of the great benediction of the personality of Godhead. If someone is stubborn and obstinate and says, I don't want to go back to Godhead, I want to stay in the material world, then he shouldn't. He won't. He can't. There's no reason for him to take advantage of the great benediction. But it's intelligent. An intelligent person will want that over staying in the material world. Being husband and wife, but always sonless, the Lord continued, you were attracted by sexual desire. But for by the influence of Deva Maya, transcendental love, you wanted to have me as your son. Therefore you never desired to be liberated from the material world. So Prabhupada explains in his purport that Vasudeva and Devaki never desired anything but to have the Lord as their son, because this was, Krishna was engaging them in this particular service. But although there was transaction of spiritual potency, their desire appears like attachment for sex and conjugal life. If one wants to return home, back to Godhead, one must give up such desires. This is possible only when one develops intense love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Niskin charanasya bhagavad bhajan mukhasya param param jigamaso bhavasagarasya. If one wants to go back home, back to Godhead, one must be niskinchana, free from all material desires. Therefore, instead of desiring to have the Lord come here and become one's son, one should desire to become free from all material desires and go back home, back to Godhead. No other desire. One is very serious if one doesn't allow any other desire to sit in his heart other than to serve, to love Krishna. That is called a serious devotee. After you receive that benediction and I disappeared, you engage yourself in sex to have a son like me, and I fulfilled your desire. Since I found no one else as highly elevated as you in simplicity and other qualities of good character, I appeared in this world as Krishna Garbha, or one who is celebrated as having taken his birth from Krishna. In the next millennium, I again appeared from the two of you, who appeared as my mother Aditi and my father Kasyapa, and I was known as Upendra. And because of being a dwarf, I was also known as Vaman. O supremely chaste mother, I, the same personality, have now appeared of you both as your son for the third time. Take my words as the truth. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead chooses a mother and father from whom to take birth again and again. The Lord took birth originally from Sutapa and Prishni, and from Kasyapa and Aditi, and again from the same father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki. In other appearances also, the Lord said, I took the form of an ordinary child just to become your son, so that we could reciprocate eternal love. Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his Krishna Sandarbha, 96th chapter, where he notes that in text 37, the Lord says, Amuna Vapusha, meaning by this same form. In other words, the Lord told Devaki, this time I have appeared in my original form as Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami says that the other forms were partial expansions of the Lord's original form, but because of the intense love developed by Krishna and Sutapa, the Lord appeared from Devaki and Vasudeva in his full opulence as Sri Krishna. In this verse, the Lord confirms, I am the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I appear in full opulence as Sri Krishna. This is the purport of the words Tenaiva Vapasa. When the Lord mentioned the birth of Krishna Garbha, he did not say Tenava Vapusa, but he assured Devaki that in the third birth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna had appeared, not his partial expansion. Krishna Garbha and Vamana were partial expansions of Krishna, but in his third birth, Krishna himself appeared. This is the explanation given in Sri Krishna Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. I have shown you this form of Vishnu, because the question is saying, why does he come first in the Vishnu form? Why? Just to remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appeared like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu has now appeared. Prabhupada's purport. So here, Deva Goswami is establishing the tattva that Krishna has indeed appeared, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And later on, we'll hear that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur establishes something else, that this is actually the Vasudev form of Krishna, because he's establishing or confirming that Krishna never leaves from Vrindavan. So that is slightly different from a different point of view, more from the rasa point of view, that Krishna is actually born not here in Mathura, but he's actually born in Braja, the son of Mother Yasoda. And even Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur shows that when that the words that are spoken, that Krishna is the son of Devaki. What is the name of Krishna, the son of Devaki?
Mm-hmm.
Devaki Nandan. Devaki is actually a name of Mother Yasoda also. That was one of her names, and he quotes that from Shastra. To show how Krishna is always Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, and he takes birth only in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada's purport to 44, which is explaining this verse where the Lord says, I appeared like an ordinary human being to remind you, to show you that I am the Lord that has taken birth, although otherwise you couldn't accept it. Prabhupada's purport. Devaki did not need to be reminded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared as her son. She already accepted this. Nonetheless, she was anxious, thinking that if her neighbors heard that Vishnu had appeared as her son, none of them would believe it. Therefore, she wanted Lord Vishnu to transform himself into a human child. On the other hand, the Supreme Lord was so anxious, thinking that if he appeared as an ordinary child, she would not believe that the Lord Vishnu had appeared. So the Lord was thinking one thing, and the devotee was thinking another. And both are thinking in terms of what is best for each other. That's always the case. The devotee is thinking how to serve the Lord and how to make the Lord happy, and the Lord is thinking how to please the devotee. The Lord deals with his devotees exactly like a human being, but this does not mean that the Lord is one of the human beings. For this is the conclusion of non-devotees, avajananti mamudha manushyam tanam ashritam. Devotees know the Supreme Personality of Godhead under any circumstances. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The Lord says, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhiji mam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances and worship me. A non-devotee cannot believe that simply by thinking of one person. A non-devotee cannot believe that simply by thinking of one person, one can achieve liberation from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. But this is a fact. The Lord comes as a human being, and if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. So here, the mission of our life, the mission of our Krishna consciousness, the purpose of our being in the Krishna consciousness movement is being explained. That one should become attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service. Now why does Prabhupada write, one should become attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service? But why does he say that? Why not just become attached to the Lord?
One has to come to some level to become attached.
But why does he say that? Then he would just have to say, just become attached. But why does he say, to the Lord on the platform of loving service?
Well, there were people who were attached to Krishna who wanted to move loving service. The council?
Yes.
That's
the reason.
The person when we love, so if we can love, we can say we love, but if we don't, you know, act, you know, like a physical and a serving, then there's no
real attachment. But the idea is anya vilasita sunyam jnana kama anavrita anukulena Krishna anashilam. That the mood has to be anukul, because who in one sense was more attached to Krishna than Kamsa. He was thinking about him all the time, but his mood was pratikul, because he was fearful of Krishna. His mood was against Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna. But he was very attached to Krishna. He was attached to nothing else. Jarasandha, all the demons are attached. So the mood of devotion, devotional service, and as Kunda Prabhu was pointing out, that it's, that devotion means devotional service. That the mood has to be anukul, favorable. Anukulasya. Has to be favorable with you. So that means loving service. Not only attachment, but attachment with love and service. So if one has that, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. The Lord continues. Both of you, husband and wife, constantly think of me. Kamsa was also constantly thinking of Krishna. But they were thinking as your son. But always know that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna never said that to Yasoda and Nanda. That you should always know that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the mood of Nanda and Yasoda was even still more intimate and intense, even more than Devaki and Vasudeva. By thus thinking of me constantly with love and affection, you will achieve the highest perfection, returning home back to Godhead. We'll read this from the last short paragraph of Prabhupada's purport here. It is to be noted that because Vasudeva and Devaki would be separated from Krishna when he was carried to Gokul, which is going to happen right now. He was carried to Gokul because they were only going to have the pleasure of having Krishna as their son just for a few moments in his presence. But as Krishna is saying, their dealing with Krishna is going to be thinking about him and loving separation. That's going to be the majority of their thinking about him, of their dealings with him as when he's young. And Nanda Maharaj, on the other hand, and Yasoda Mayi, they're going to have the pleasure, the ecstasy of bringing up Krishna and Balaram as their sons. So it must be noted that because Vasudeva and Devaki would be separated from Krishna when he was carried to Gokul, the residence of Nanda Maharaj, the Lord personally instructed them that they should always think of him as their son, as the Supreme, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the almost the contradiction right from the very beginning in their prayers. They're thinking of him as their son and fearful of Kamsa. They're thinking of him as Vishnu, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they're fearless. And both are going on at the same time. So think of him as your son and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That would keep them in touch with him. After 11 years, the Lord would return to Mathura to be their son, and therefore there was no question of separation. Sukadeva Goswami said, after thus instructing his father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, remained silent. In their presence, by his internal energy, he then transformed himself into a small human child. In other words, he transformed himself into his original form, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Sayam. That's what Prabhupada says. We'll read this bit of the purport here. So this is Krishna's Achintya Shakti, his inconceivable power. He can do these things. 47. Thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur discusses that Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Devaki and as the son of Yasoda, along with the spiritual energy Yogamaya. As the son of Devaki, he first appeared as Vishnu, And because Vasudeva was not in the position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudeva worshipped his son as Lord Vishnu. Yasoda, however, pleasing her son Krishna without understanding his Godhead, pleased her son Krishna without understanding his Godhead. This is the difference between Krishna as the son of Yasoda and as the son of Devaki. This is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur on the authority of the Hari Vamsa. Yeah, this will be, we'll talk about this again later, how Krishna actually took his birth also in Vrindavan as the son of Yasoda. And then when, as we're going to hear, Nanda Maharaj brings the Vasudeva Krishna, this Vishnu form, and exchanges it, that he takes the daughter that was born at the same time and who is Yogamaya, and then that Vishnu form enters into the Krishna form, the full Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, who is in who is the son of Mother Yasoda. This will be explained also later. By the influence of Yogamaya, all the doorkeepers fell fast asleep, their senses unable to work. And the other inhabitants of the house also fell deeply asleep. When the sun rises, the darkness automatically disappears. Similarly, when Vasudeva appeared, the closed doors, which were strongly pinned with iron and locked, and locked with iron chains, opened automatically. Since the clouds in the sky were mildly thundering and showering, Anantanag, an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, followed Vasudeva, beginning from the door where his hoods expanded to protect Vasudeva and the transcendental child, because it was raining. Because of constant rain sent by the demigod Indra, the river Jamuna was filled with deep water, foaming about with fiercely whirling waves. But as the great Indian Ocean had formerly given way to Lord Ramachandra by allowing him to construct a bridge, the river Yamuna gave way to Vasudeva and allowed him to cross. When Vasudeva reached the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that all the cowherd men were fast asleep. Thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yasoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, and then returned to his residence, the prison house of Kamsa. Purport. Vasudeva knew very well that as soon as the daughter was in the prison house of Kamsa, Kamsa would immediately kill her. But to protect his own child, he had to kill the child of his friend. Nanda Maharaj was his friend, but out of deep affection and attachment for his own son, he knowingly did this. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one cannot be blamed for protecting one's own child at the sacrifice of another's. Furthermore, Vasudeva cannot be accused of callousness since his actions were impelled by the force of Yogamaya. So he did this. So on one level, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that who can blame someone if to protect his own son he gives up the life of another? It's just very natural. But the real reason why it was perfectly okay for him to do this was because this is Krishna's Leela, and it is impelled by the internal energy of Krishna, Krishna's Yogamaya. And then Vasudeva placed the female child on the bed of Devaki, bound his legs with the iron shackles, and thus remained there as before. So no one knew what had happened. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yasoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her, whether it had been a boy or a girl. Purport. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva were intimate friends, and so were their wives, Yasoda and Devaki. Although their names were different, they were practically non-different personalities. The only difference is that Devaki was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been born to her and had now changed into Krishna, whereas Yasoda was not able to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Yasoda was such an advanced devotee that she never regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but simply loved him as her own child. Devaki, however, knew from the very beginning that although Krishna was her son, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So normally we would think that the person who had knowledge of who God was higher than the person who lacked knowledge of who God was. And indeed, that is true in the material world, but in the spiritual world, it is not true. But it is not true in a different way, because those in the spiritual world, they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the sweetness of the intensity of the love, of their love for Krishna, and the intensity of their sweetness covers over the knowledge. The two can't exist at the same time. Just like sometimes, even nowadays, there is a parent, and he, and the mother, especially the mother, when she sees her child, even if the child is 50 years old, she'll see the child as a little, like a boy. Not that she doesn't know that he's 50 years old, but the love, that the intimacy of the love that she has for him pushes away that knowledge. I once heard of, someone had told me that they knew one 70-year-old lady who had a 50-year-old son, and she would still feed him.
Like a baby.
Like a baby. And he wouldn't eat unless his mother was feeding him. So in the West, this would be looked on as extremely peculiar. But we should understand just the nature of, that's the nature of motherly and fatherly love. They see their children, no matter how old they are, no matter what position they attain, they see them only as their children. This is even more true. So that the higher the love is, in especially as exhibited in Goloka Vrindavan, the less the knowledge of Krishna's position is manifest. But it is based on love, pure spiritual love. While in the material world, the less one has knowledge of God, the more that they think that they are God, and there's no love of God. Just the opposite. So this is wonderful and belonging to the spiritual world. So in Vrindavan, Prabhupada continues, and this is the final purport that we'll read in the last purport in this chapter. When Vrindavan, no one regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When something very wonderful happened because of Krishna's activities, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the cowherd men, the cowherd boys, Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, and the others were surprised. How could Krishna have done this? But they never considered their son Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they suggested that some great demigod had appeared there as Krishna. Sometimes they thought, oh, because Krishna is such a wonderful sweet boy, therefore he's always protected by Lord Narayan. Or sometimes they thought, oh, because Nanda Maharaj is worshipping Lord Narayan, therefore he's always being protected, and this boy... Or sometimes they thought that because Mother Yasoda has put these mantras to protect Krishna, therefore Krishna is being protected and no one seems to be able to hurt him. They would see everything that happened. Krishna would exhibit such amazing pastimes, but they would never see, oh, he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of the incredible depth of their love. In such an exalted status of devotional service, a devotee forgets the position of Krishna and intensely loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding his position. This is called Kevala Bhakti, and it is distinct from the stage of Jnana and Jnanamayi Bhakti, which it was the Mother Devaki and Vasudev. They had some Jnana, they were full of some Jnana in their relationship with Krishna. But Kevala means pure. It was only that one thing, just love for Krishna. Not that the other wasn't there, but it is covered by the power, the incredible power of the love. Like a tidal wave will cover, you might put up a wall to stop the ocean, but when a tidal wave comes, it just completely overcomes and overwhelms it. So the love of the residents of Vrindavan is like a tidal wave. So Prabhupada is directing us how to achieve that love, prema pramato maha. And how? Does anyone remember some of the things that we heard that would help us achieve that love?
Always engage in service of the Lord.
Huh?
Always engage in the service of the Lord with the love.
With love, yes. With love, loving devotional service. Faith, devotion, austerity. Chanting Hare Krishna continuously.
Getting about the platform the council was on.
Yes. Being on the favorable side, but being attached to Krishna favorably. Have to develop attachment for Krishna. That is the purpose. Okay. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. Now, in chapter 4, which Krishna willing we shall begin next Wednesday, it is called The Atrocities of King Kamsa. So we hear about Kamsa's attachment to Krishna. And then on Thursday we'll finish that chapter. Then on Friday, if Krishna allows, we'll hear about the meeting of Nanda and Vasudev in Mathura. And then the following week, we shall go chapter 6, Vrindavan, and hear about Vrindavan Krishna. Gokul Vrindavan Krishna. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Can you explain a little more about Krishna Garbha? I have, you know, I really don't understand, you know, clearly. It says Krishna Bhagavan, you know, the
Om
Krishna, what exactly...
But it's not mentioned very, very much about his activities. The only thing that's mentioned is that in the fourth canto, it describes how when Dhruva Maharaj was praying, when he was performing his austerities, the demigods became frightened, and they went to Brahma, and then Brahma went to the ocean of milk and he prayed, and the Lord said that this is Dhruva Maharaj, don't worry, he's not like when there was a problem, because the universe got choked up in its air because of Dhruva Maharaj's austerities. He had taken the Lord in his heart very deeply, and he couldn't. And the universe was choked up. So the Lord told them that, don't worry, I'll save the situation. This is just the boy devotee, Dhruva Maharaj. It's not like when Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were causing disturbances when they were in the womb of Diti. And then it describes that he came. So it appears that he incarnated, that he just didn't come from there without taking a mother and a father. And that mother's name was Sutava, Krishna, and the father. That's what it appears. But other than that, I've never heard anything else about this, about Krishna Garbha.
Yes.
Other than that's the name of the incarnation who came to Dhruva Maharaj. You know any more? Maybe in some Puranas it's mentioned, I don't know.
No, I was just wondering about how with Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna, is that because it's Krishna himself? He appeared first in the mind and then he entered the womb, and then they didn't have a sexual relationship or a pregnancy. But when he's speaking to her about when she was the mother of
Krishna is always there, so he can do as he likes. He can appear with no pregnancy, he can appear from, and that's the first time he appears in the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, he appears from the nostril of Lord Brahma, just to show that he can appear, which is a very unlikely place to appear from. Methodology. Just to show that he can appear in any way he wants, and regardless if he appears from the nostril of Brahma or from the womb of Devaki or from the womb of Yasoda, it doesn't make any difference. It's still the same. It's all the same. He's everywhere after all. And Lord Nisringadeva appeared from what? What was his mother?
A pillar.
So it's just different ways, different reciprocations at different times. It sounds like that the love of Vasudeva and Devaki, that was the pinnacle. Their love had increased mm-hmm. through the successive incarnations. It almost seems like that.
Yeah. It also struck me that, as you just mentioned, that he was about to disappear. He was about to leave them, and for 11 years they won't actually have his presence, as that, you know, and love him and eat him and watch him grow up and look at his teeth coming in and hug him.
That was given to Nandamas.
So it was as if he gave them something special and was talking to them because he was about to immediately
leave.
And as you say, that their love through those various incarnations where they had tended to him was now on
the summit of that. And also it's interesting to note that while he was away from them, Vasudeva and Devaki were always afraid because Kamsa kept sending demons to kill them, so their love was intensified naturally by fear. But it wasn't fear for themselves, it was fear for him. So they're always worried about, oh, my boy, I hope he's doing all right, any news? Because Kamsa was still alive at that time. And then only when Krishna came and killed him that he the fear was finished. Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
One thing that struck me near the mountains that I said I didn't get any external direction or instruction to take the child to the goal of inspiration.
He was inspired by Yoga Maya.
He didn't tell him to take the book with his mother. Didn't he say something?
Actually, Krishna is supreme, he didn't need to take away, but he was not caring. But he extended love relationship than the way that was the taking.
Jiva Goswami explains this actually in the. That's different than what you're saying, but just he explains that Krishna wanted to actually leave as quickly as possible because he was drawn to the love of the Vrajavasis, so actually he wanted to get there very quickly, and probably one of the Sandarbhas Jiva Goswami explains, but we can just confirm that it doesn't seem like that there was any words from Krishna. It was, unless the Acharyas say this, but I'll just confirm it over here. Huh? Transfer self is original form. Then everyone went to sleep. Yeah, it doesn't say that Krishna said it. It might be written differently in the Krishna book. We can check.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.